You're listening to the Rick and Rollo Show, where two guys from Australia talk about pop culture and media fakery with esoterica and comedy mixed in. They do the show every Saturday night, 7 p.m. Sydney time, Saturday morning, 5 a.m. Toronto time. You'll hear different guests every week, all of them speaking with a fakeologist mindset. Now, enjoy the show. You come from a land down
under. This is Alan, what's his name? On April the 2nd, 2023, you're listening to Rick talking to himself. Even though I'm starting to sound a little bit Irish, but I'm not, I'm Scottish. But thank you, folks. Thank you very much. Mr. Alan, what's his name? Alan Watt, coming to the Matrix. Do yourself a favor, go on there and get your base, because that's where you're going to learn the base of truth. You need to get that kind of base of where we got to, how we got to where we are. How do we get where we are? Non-NGOs, large sums of money from private entities, Rockefellers, etc. And we are now living in very close to the technocracy, the scientific control of humanity via men in lab coats that wave their hands just like the original priest did in ancient eras, in the ancient places, ancient cities, promised there's going to be an eclipse, and they knew there was going to be an eclipse. They'd be waving their arms, the sun would suddenly go black, and the public sought sacrifice to appease the gods. The gods of climate change is the coming one. And be told. This is Rick on, it'll say Sunday, the 2nd of April, the second day after the 1st of April, pinching a punch for the first of the month. An old saying, which would now be probably illegal, would be some kind of violence. You'd probably get arrested for saying that online. Inciting violence, pinching a punch for the first of the month, guaranteed. I'm just going to have a bit of a chat and wait for the fantastic fakeologist.com Aberato to arrive. Discuss several things, including last night we did a 50, this number 52, I do believe, of the FART, F-A-R-T, Fakeologist Australia Roundtable. Minus one of the most famous and greatest of the guests, who I haven't contacted, but I don't think he's going to talk to me ever again, because I'm sorry, I just had music arrive into my ears from pressing a button on my phone by mistake. I don't think that would, if it never comes out, there's a way we can actually play music on this show. But yeah, no, we did a kind of a live rehearsal last night, maybe two hours with full production on the Rick and Rollo page of the show that number 53, I think it was. I think it went quite well, but I don't know if it's going to get released, because I think it might have gone. Like, the producer was as happy as he likes to be, and he's a perfectionist, as I am, perfectionist. Anyway, you know, it was entertaining, very entertaining. Good to hear Rollo having to rehearse his lines and do them pretty bloody well, I think, in my humble opinion. So I'm just been flicking through, but I haven't read the whole book. But this is a book called The Same Man by David Lebedoff. It's L-E-B-E-D-O-F-F. It's called The Same Man in Love and War. And it's about Evelyn Waugh, by coincidence, and that's the way you pronounce his name, like Jesse Waugh, W-A-U-G-H. Coincidence? George Orwell. And they're not implying he's being played by the same character, but that's the way it's kind of portrayed on the cover. They don't look anything like each other, though. One's very toffee. I'm not talking about Eric Blair. Eric Blair was a very grizzled, very tall ex-policeman from Pune in India, part of the British occupation forces. And by coincidence, a good friend of Spike Milligan's father, be told. Interesting coincidence there. He used to cycle around on Sundays and have tea with Spike Milligan's father, who was another ex-military man. Very funny stories. You want to read actual, which I suggest are pretty actual and accurate, war diaries and growing up in the 30s and 40s in England. Spike Milligan's war diaries are fantastic. Rommel Gunner Who, Hitler, My Partner's Downfall, Where Have All the Bullets Gone? I read them all. Read them all, and they are fantastic. Really good. I say very accurate from listening to other people, older people, relatives talk about what it was like growing up in those days. And my family are Milliganites. Milliganites, if there was a religion, very goon show centric. Much, we listened to that growing up as kids. Very clever. Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, and Spike Milligan, and Michael Benteen in the early days. The very, very, the cutting edge of comedy in the late 40s, early 50s through the 60s, maybe parts of the 70s. Influences of Python, Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, all of the greatest satirists all were influenced by the goons, be told. And Orwell, very similar in his writing. And I do believe I read, I think it's A Road to Wigan Pier or Keep the Apodistras Flying. But I'm telling you, I picked, because I'm a Pythonist, literally. I know everything they've done. I've got every book before the videos came out that you couldn't actually watch the old shows. And I can recite I can recite word for word huge chunks of Monty Python. I noticed that a lot of Orwell's stuff was very Pythonish, and that Python actually lifted that kind of dark humour into their humour. And this book, The Same Man, I only picked it up and flicked through it, and I'm telling you, I found big, big things, which I do with almost anything these days. I go down rabbit holes very quickly. I must have been a ferret in my last life, possibly. Joke. But Orwell was very favoured by Arthur Kessler, who wrote The Ghost and the Machine. And so Orwell's, a good friend of Orwell's, a female who was a diarist for him, I do believe. She was saying she was at the dinner at it was called a PEN, that's P dot, it was an abbreviation or an acronym, PEN conference, whatever that meant, in the 40s, and Arthur Kessler and his girlfriend were sitting next to her, and he said, I'll bet you 5 bottles of Burgundy that George or Eric will be huge, like a million seller in 5 years' time. Spot on. He was. And again, Orwell is a made character. Like, he was in the intelligence agencies. Although I think he might have been not an elitist. But his books were meant to be. They were meant to be. They were in your reading catalogue at school through the 60s and 70s, probably the 50s, 60s and 70s, Animal Farm in 1984. If they didn't want you to read those books, you would never have seen them. Never have seen them. They wanted you to be aware of the boot stomping on your face forever in 1984. He was an understudy to Aldous Huxley. He was, Aldous Huxley was his mentor, or back in the day, who wrote the other book, you know, the kind of the, you know, the, not the rival, but very, you know, the book he wrote, and his brother happened to be the almost founder of UNESCO, Julian. But Aldous Huxley's Brave New World was, there was two books that were going to be dominate our future and what the future was going to be. Both of them were very heavily plugged and made, you had to read them at school. And Aldous liked his version, according to when he wrote a reply to his review of 1984, and he said, I think my version of a soft, drugged society will be win over the boot on the face forever thuggery that was implied in 1984. And he's right, and that's what's coming, because I'm telling you now, they're trying to legalize hallucinogens, you know, to help mental illness. They're going to give you a soma that's going to be regulated into your mouth in the future. Be told, guaranteed, because if you've got a mind virus, you need to be cured, and you're a danger because you're spreading misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, misdismal, MDM. I know, MMD. It's turned upside down, weapons of mass destruction. We'll flick it around a bit. There's WMD in there somewhere. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. This book, though, is fantastic. I mean, every page I flicked on, they were talking about it. He moved to Jura, which is in the Hebrides of Scotland, like in the middle of nowhere, freezing cold, wet little island. He had pleurisy, and he was really unhealthy, but he chose to move to the most inhospitable little country. It's not a country, a little island. It took 48 hours to get there from London. And when he got there, he had to travel by boat and then walk eight miles and to find his house. It was that remote. And I do believe he thought he was going to get whacked. Just like I remember reading, I'm talking about 40 years ago, reading that Kubrick thought the same thing. It was quite common knowledge that he lived in England because he didn't ever want to go back to America. Why? Why? Why were they so worried? There's a there. Be told. Guaranteed. So I haven't read this book yet, but I'm going to. It's that interesting. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get through it, because I have to jump off and start researching names. And as soon as I've seen Arthur Kessler's name in there, because he wrote The Ghost in the Machine, and one of the nastier books out there on the Globalist book series by Jay Dyer is The Ghost in the Machine. The Ghost in the Machine is your soul. The thing that makes you different from a automaton or a robot is that the humans have a soul, an independent spark of life that's not part of our mortal coil, our body. And the Ghost in the Machine is basically them trying to find it and isolate it. And I do recall, you know, some of the more outrageous Bill Gates videos that I've seen is him in court and or doing a speech. Is that someone famous? Is that someone? I'll just keep going. He was doing a speech about this vaccine possibly being able to isolate and numb the area that they've targeted as being the human soul. Was that what was being pushed on us and 2020, 2021, 2022. I'm a conspiracy theorist, be told, so I think it could be. I'm not sure, but Ghost in the Machine by Arthur Kessler, highly recommended. Highly recommended. Who's that? Mr. Fakeologist?
Good day, Rick.
Oh, fantastic to hear from you, and good to hear from you at a reasonable hour, because we've got daylight savings over here, and I've got my watch is not set to daylight savings. It's still set at, let's have a look, it's 7:16, but the Australian time now is 6:16.
Oh, 16, my goodness. So. Dinner time for the Rick Meister.
Yeah, no, I like eating late, but I have a little bit of a snack, a little bit of a snack. So how's things, right. Mr. Folkholland?
Oh, we dropped back into the cold. We had one warm day yesterday where it reached a whopping 15 Celsius. And now we're back into the negatives. It's -3 today, as I set out.
Yeah, I keep reading or hearing podcasters in America saying that it was snowing yesterday and this today they've got a warm day. It's incredible that the weather just fluctuates from, you know, 15 is pretty warm for you.
It's called spring. It's when the north wind fights the south wind. And today the north wind is winning. They just fight it out for about a month of April.
Yeah, we have.
As I've said before in the past years, I wait till April 15th to remove the snow tires.
Right, that's you got so 13
more
days. 13 more days.
Yeah,
two more weeks.
Because it can snow. I don't care if it snows after April 15th because I refuse to drive with snow tires after April 15th. That's just a thing.
Well, look, I don't even understand the concept, Ab. I'm telling you, I'm so naive. I don't understand snow, wet, and cold.
Well, Frank goes skiing and whatnot all the time in Australia.
Yeah. Of course you can. And I could too, but I wouldn't do it. I'm not into knee injuries for some reason. I've already had one.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't want another one.
Agreed.
Oh. Ankle injuries,
apparently,
knee injuries.
Dolores O'Riordan of the Zombies, she wrecked some part of her knee, some specific part, and that was one of the reasons she was always in pain, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I'm always in pain because of my knee. I didn't choose to do it skiing. I accidentally did it on a tropical island, but that's the kind of idiot I am. But these things happen. These things happen.
You were skiing on a tropical island? No, that's not possible.
No. I was doing something silly and crippled myself for 6 months. And probably the rest of my life.
Dear.
But anyway,
all right.
Yeah. So last night, a Rollo report. Quick Rollo report.
Go ahead.
We had Velocet messaged me yesterday and said, look, he's not doing anything. He'll come in and record something last night, and completely off the cuff, we tried to do a fart podcast 52 or 53. I think 52. And Rollo had to suddenly remember all his lines from two years ago. But I thought he did really well. We had to remember his, I don't think it's going to get released, to be quite honest, sadly. But
why not? Is it topical?
I can't remember any of that's why I say I listen to my own podcast to find out what I said. He did really well though, and it was good actually. I think it was good for him because he needs to have that kind of keep his brain working discipline. And Velocet's such a perfectionist, and he wants everything done with timed and commercials. And he tried to do a practice rerun of what we did, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, on a regular basis. I think he did really well, to be honest. But hopefully, it will get released. But it may be edited. Heavily edited because it kind of went a bit.
Oh, Goldie! Shape. You show up?
No. Well, I don't know if you'll ever talk
break,
to me.
Rick and Roll.
You're listening to After the Break, Rick and Roll.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Rick and Ab on the 2nd of April, 2023. Very beautiful weather in where I am, and slightly colder, well, by about a factor of 20 degrees where Ab is. But, and we're on Fakeologist Radio, fakeologist.com, be told. So, yeah, so fantastic. So it's getting, hopefully we'll get warmer for you. Here, though, let me just say this. It was, to me, beautiful weather, very warm. But all of a sudden, this incredible rain hit. And then it went to blue skies again. So we're getting this, I mean, it's all over the place here. Spring, obviously, yeah, spring. Spring has sprung.
We had a monsoon pass through last night, 24 hours ago. It was something else.
Yeah, we're getting that kind of weird shit as well.
I call it a monsoon. I have a little weather station and it said it was 25 millimeters in a short time. That was quite a bit.
Well, my son and I, this morning we went to a market and went to a cafe and then we drove and picked my daughter up who's now moved back for now on her way to head to Europe this year. And we went out for lunch, a brunch. And it was really nice and but there's so many people out. Every cafe that we went to was packed and it was a really nice day, but we drove home. We went to the gym, my son and I, and it came out, and there must have been a weather event while we were in there because the water on the road, you know how when there's a lot of rain, the water is all over the road on a flat road. It was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible. But then I got home, and it was blue skies. Yeah. Blue skies. Blue skies. It was perfect weather.
Yeah. I don't want to hear about your weather incidents in Australia because everything you go through is really not bad for what I compare to you. It's always warm and get some rain.
Okay, and
you
we
do
can
pretty
go for
well.
Swim.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly.
There is no, I'm telling you now, I'm not jealous of where you are. Be assured. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned why anyone would want to go and put themselves through that. And the Canadians, that's why they've become such a very nice race of people because they go through so much, at least 7 months of the year.
And we suffer, exactly.
We're not
tough.
And
Canada's full of soy boys.
Well,
bunch of pussies all of them. I'm not going to say that. In the West, they're tougher. West, they're a little more manly. In the East here, we're all urbanites and all just soy boys. It's sad.
Now, tell me, I listened to you and Uncle, what's he call himself?
Epic.
Uncle V?
I call him Uncle Epic.
Epic. Hey, look, can I just suggest to Todd that he calls himself Uncle Epic? Because calling himself Uncle Vigilante, he's taking someone else's name. You don't need to get anyone else's name. He's got his own voice. Call it Uncle Epic. Fantastic.
I'm going to put another vote for that. Yeah, I agree. I don't know why he's Epic, so 100%. Hesitant. It's obvious. Vigilante belongs to those guys he hates. He hates those guys. So why would you use their name? Crazy.
And before that, it wasn't his fault because he was regarded, and I understand, I've been through there, and I'm about the same age as him, roughly, like we all are.
You guys are very similar.
And I hear him when he says, you know, a family gathering, he had to sit with the kids because he was Uncle Odd. But I remember saying back in the day, do not call yourself that. There was three different Odds that already out. There was the Odd Man out. There was another Odd. There was at least three Odd TV. And there's already the Odd name.
Oh,
was taken.
Yeah. Yeah, Odd TV, right. That guy was really good, really smart.
He was. Is he still about? I'm not sure. I just sidetrack here, but I tell you now, I've been listening when I go to sleep. And if I'm not feeling like sleeping, I'll put on podcasts. And if I use Podbean, it actually runs through concurrent shows backwards. It doesn't stop at each show. And I've listened to, I'll bring him up again, that Sean McCann. I have to say this, I am absolutely impressed with his stuff. It is fantastic. And it's maybe not just him, it's the guests he chooses to have.
Yeah, I like him too. He's a good microphone. He sounds good. Yeah. You turned me on.
Good microphone,
I'm listening now.
Yeah.
I'm listening to him now.
So I've gone through to, and I'm telling you, the one that I sent it to, I didn't send it. I just told Johnny come lately as Yazarian. I said, do whatever you do before you, he's sharing, Eyes Wide Shut bits from Eyes Wide Shut. And I said, look, I'm well versed in that movie and conspiracy theories and stuff like that. My mouth dropped open when I was listening to Sean McCann's interpretation of that movie, which, because he doesn't have a paywall, so you can listen to all he says. Maybe Freeman TV and some of the others, Jay Dye, maybe they do say these kind of things on their paywall. I had no idea at the level of where that movie sinks to. And Kubrick was trying to expose this movie. Yeah. So he's being interviewed by some American guy who's got an American show, not well known as far as I'm concerned. But I literally was just I was like, what fuck? This is good stuff. You know, like what he was saying. They broke that movie down. I've watched it maybe 15 times. I missed obviously the main gist of that movie, which is hidden from anyone that I've. Oh yeah, it's out there and. It's quite in your face. The very last scenes, with that they actually let their little girl go off with two strange men. I didn't even notice that, but you watch it again, and sure enough,
I only watched it once. I hated it, so I have now. That's before I became a Picard.
Do yourself a favor. I actually bought a copy of it, so I've actually got it. It's a hard copy, so it can't be edited out. Because if you watch it online, I'm telling you now, they're going to take a lot of that. 38 minutes was already removed before they released it by the official.
Yeah, I remember that story. Was the official controversy.
And as I said,
38 plus 8 is 11.
Funny, what a coincidence! What a coincidence! At that stage, I was on Mission. This is when Mission Impossible was getting filmed with Tom Cruise in Sydney, and him and Nicole used to come to the pub, two doors from my bedroom, literally. Two buildings from where I was sleeping, and play pool and talk to the locals, and everyone got on them. Apparently, they were a really fun couple. And next thing you know, he and her disappeared.
Yeah.
She wasn't on Mission Impossible, but they had to go back to America and reshoot scenes a year after they'd wrapped Eyes Wide Shut. And I can remember, honestly, I thought, that's really unusual. I mean, you don't finish a movie 1 year ago and then have to go suddenly back and reshoot scenes. But then Kubrick died 2 weeks later, allegedly. Allegedly, I'll put that in a parenthesis.
Hey, hold that thought, Rick. Give me a feel. Just a feel. You can keep talking.
Yeah. Oh, and do you think I'm not going to? Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, so Nicole and Tom flew back. I've said this before, so this is old news if you listened to the show before. But this is news that no one else seems to have talked about, apart from myself. Exclusive. So they obviously either knew he was going to, they couldn't release it as it was, so they flew back early before Mission Impossible wrapped completely. But they would have had a stand-in double doing all Tom Cruise's bits, be told, like they did with the main stars in Dark City. They had identical stand-ins, which came in and, you know, I'm telling you, we've been there before. You cannot tell, when you're watching a movie, half the time the person that you think is the lead actor that you like, that isn't him, it's a double. Your brain is not allowing you to think that, though, but people like me who sat there and talked to the double of Rufus Sewell on Dark City. Just a normal guy. He's also English, but he looked very similar to him, but not identical. But he was the guy that did most of the scenes on the last nights of shooting. It was not Rufus Sewell. Sewell was back in England doing another movie. Tom Cruise has got doubles. Definitely Keanu Reeves. And I can tell you now, I've spent a lot of time right next to that guy. He does not look like Keanu Reeves when you look at him close up. He's got really pale, blotchy, acne-scarred skin. Doesn't look like the same guy. I actually was looking at him, and he's really thin. So when you're watching a movie, the trickery of movie is that you think something's happening. It's all magic, literally. The Hollywood, the wood of holly, the magic wand, literally convinces you that you're seeing someone that is not that person. Most movies with a big star will have a double or triple or a quadruple from behind, from the side, their legs, whatever, while the other star's going off and drinking and carousing with people or with his family at a beach somewhere. This is a fact. I guarantee it. I've seen it, met them, and talked to them. Cruise has at least two. Yeah, and they don't need to look identical to him. They have the same haircut. They can be. And the way to tell a lot of the stunt scenes that you see will be another guy, maybe not with Cruise's, in Cruise's case, but most other movies. They just put a wig on them. Even if it's a woman doing a stunt, it'll be a bloke doing most of the heavy stuff. Be told. Even though there's some good stunt women out there, but some of the more hair-raising stuff, they get a man to do it. Explosions and et cetera. Anyway, I'll just shut up and wait for Ed to come back. So you're listening to Rick and Ab, Sunday the 23rd of April, 2023.
All right, I'm back. So you couldn't get Johnny's List to come on the Rick and Rollo show? We got to get him on the audio. The plumber from Down Under.
Yeah, you know, I tried. I did try.
Yep.
He was obviously busy, but Frank came on and was on for at least an hour and a half after his.
He came on the fart?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Yep. 100%. Yep. So, yeah.
And thanks to Frank for his amazing donation to the Fakeologist show.
Oh, good on him, Frank. Good on Frank. Well, he's got to be one of the most. So, you think one of the most consistent people in the history of Fakeologists would have to be Frank?
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes. He's been here since almost day one, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Rollo has been off for. Two or at least a year or 6 months or 8 months or whatever, but Frank is constantly there and always entertaining, always entertaining. He's had to change his name to a more normal name, Frank the Salt Guy, which I think is way better than an ounce of salt.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, either way, we appreciate him. And wow, so he's contributing over on the fart too. That's a lot to do.
I know. Well, I sent him an invite because I just knew that there was going to be me and Rollo. Possibly that was the only people that were on the Rick and Rollo site that were possibly of any interest. And I sent a message. I just put a Johnny's List. I said a Johnny's List and the Critical Sinker was also going to do some, but in the end we just did it. I think it was a good rehearsal though for the future, but there's nothing happened. Joel's not in any position. He hasn't got his house set up and he hasn't got a house yet to move into. So it's all in the future, you know. We could be talking about 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, 1 month. I'm not sure, but it was good anyway. And it was what I think was fantastic though was that Rollo had to, and he was nervous and he was, because he's a pro.
Is that right? That's funny.
When it comes to getting it right, that I think that probably kept his sanity, that regular Saturday night show, for a long time, because he knew he couldn't be so drunk that he was slim, because he loves to do he likes to go to the breaks and do and back announce and do everything professionally. He's got his radios in his jeans, and that's G-E-N-E-S as opposed to the radio in his J-E-A-N-S if he wears them. But I think it was a good thing for Rollo to have to.
He wears pants.
Remember his. I think so. What does he wear? Not a muumuu. He definitely dresses eccentrically though. He dresses like Doctor Who, in any given one stage, with scarves and hats and things like that. But anyway, it was good. It was a good. What do you call it? a good entertaining.
Did you discuss anything exciting? Are you going to get the Celica soon, or what's happening?
No. The Celica's finished. It's gone. You just reminded me of that. I'm still upset, Ab. Now I'm going to go through trauma. Remembering that I was promised a Celica and got a bugger all.
Where is the Celica now?
I think rightly so. It's his brother has it at his house. We're not about 40 minutes from my house. 40 minutes from my house. So it's closer than it's ever been, but it's not mine.
The neighbors, the Indians, the dogs, the noise.
Don't worry. All you have to do is slightly antagonize or mention anything, and he'll create his own new drama. But luckily, from what I hear, because I kicked him off again. He was kicked off the Rick and Rollo site again for the other night.
That's drama.
Yeah, no, I woke up and I was looking at the page, and Martha had invited a friend of his to come on and,
said, back to the break.
You're listening to Rick and Ab. After the break, Rick and Rollo.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hey, this is Amir 97 from Sweden, and you're listening to Fakeologist Audio on Fakeologist.com.
Fantastic. You're listening to Rick and Ab on Fakeologist.com on the 2nd of April. The day after April Fool's Day, 2023. And we're just talking about Rollo and his...
That's the new voice of Sweden, by the way. The new voice of Sweden.
Oh, excellent.
You think Sweden has changed a bit?
No. Well, what happened with... Remember the guy that was interviewing you regularly on his own show? He had quite a big... show you did some Patrick guest Kimponi. Appearances on. No, Sweden. No. Swish. He was Swedish. Swedish guy.
Sandy for Sweden. Well, yeah, I'm actually still a patron. I still watch the guy. I just thought we were sort of on different paths. He's not really a fakeologist, and he's more following the traditional news cycle. So I thought it may have run its course, but he has a huge audience. So I have to admit,
every time you appeared,
to big audiences.
Every time that you appeared, there'd be a number of his listeners popping in on.
And maybe I'll do it again because I figure, I'm a Patreon. I give him a couple bucks a month. I should be able to have access to the guy. Although that's kind of it's a weak argument, but.
If you give him enough money for a piece of snus to stick under his lip, that's what the big Swedish thing, the tobacco under the lip, the snus.
Oh yeah.
Or whatever he.
Oh okay.
It's huge. It's big.
Pay for guests.
Oh, you may as well be. You're helping buy his snus if he uses snus, and I bet he does because most Swedish guys they did back in the 90s.
Okay.
What I was going to say though, I've popped into the Discord on fakeologist.com.
Yeah.
Seen the new main thing at the moment is the EGI reverse EGI sites. Now, apparently Sylvester Stallone and one of the biggest porn stars, and I'm not going to say biggest for any, there's double meaning there. Porn stars
John
on the planet, John Holmes. Now, this is, as I said, this is the other thing. We've got IPS, Tim Osman is on the Fakeholders Discord arguing the...
Yeah.
Fantastic. So
that's fine. That's okay, I think
fantastic.
That.
I do. I do, because I agree with him in this case, not every case. There's a lot of his stuff I do not agree with, but arguing against this. He's arguing the negative that this is I love the word we had mandoozled that they came up with for the Mandela effect, and he's got transdoozled. But one of the girls over there, Salty Siren, fantastic,
Yeah. I think I interviewed her. Yeah, she's lovely.
She's fantastic. Yeah. She called it Mamdoozled, M-A-A-M-doozled, you know, like Mamdoozled. You confused Mam with, as it, you know, call me Mam.
Oh, that's funny.
I thought so. I said, and I told her, But I'm telling you that the Stallone, for instance, before he became a star, he was doing adult films. And, you know, he was a... someone said to him, why don't you go into politics? And he said, I've got so many skeletons in my closet that I'd be destroyed within, you know, and he's right, because he has.
Now he'd be promoted.
He probably would be if he wanted to, but...
Yeah, he could go in now. Now it's a freak show. Yeah. He could be president easily.
I'd vote for Sly Stallone for president. But anyway, he said no because I've got too many skeletons in my closet. One of the biggest skeletons, pardon the pun, is at least two or three porn films that he did before he became famous. One was called The Italian Stallion. These are out there. You can look them. You can watch. You can watch them. You can see.
I remember the title, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's just say this. At no stage has this guy got any feminine genes in his pants, be fucking told. And one of the things that him and he's into, and I'm getting this from the days of working in the game, him and his bodyguards are into, you know, they're like having a good-looking chick, and him and another guy do what they do. So it's two onto one type of thing. He's notorious for this. I'm telling you, females cannot be turned into males with that kind of package and action equipment. Guaranteed.
Yeah,
it's not possible. Yeah, it's not possible. It's not possible.
Not everyone.
No.
I don't know why. I know Thomas J or somebody is big on saying everyone
him.
Is reversed.
It's him.
Of course,
it's him.
That's
him. It's him. It's
okay.
Him. Yeah, and I did.
To me, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And
not everyone
what
is.
It does.
And no one in my family is, and no one probably in your family is. So,
no,
there are people that are though, and they're usually in Hollywood, and it costs tons of money to do it. I would say to maintain it as well. It's a maintenance issue as well. You're not just one and done.
Male to female, there is an operation that is apparently quite successful. Female to male, it is not successful.
Men have been dressing up as women since the beginning of time, so we can acknowledge transvestites.
I'll give you some exclusives here. Not exclusives to everybody, but exclusives to on here. The British elites, right? The uh-huh. upper class, and I'm talking about the ones that are all bored.
Right. They have nothing to do.
Right. Frequently, and I'm talking about if you go back and look at old photographs of Victorian England, you'll see the son of the family brought up as a woman who dressed up
there
in female.
Yeah,
it was a thing.
It's
a thing. So there's always been this kind of weird cross-section, cross-dressing. And I've just been reading. I've got it right in front of me. It's called George Orwell, Evelyn Waugh. That's Evelyn Waugh as in Jesse Waugh, same pronounced spelling.
Right. Oh, very interesting.
Listen, this book, I picked it up and flicked through it, and I just went back. I jump down rabbit holes really fast and start researching. There's so many things in the three or four pages I flicked through. So Evelyn Waugh was a satirist, writer, and elitist. He was from a lower middle class family. So he was another guy embarrassed about because he wanted to be the upper class. He was also raised. There's photos of him as a child dressed up as a woman. He constantly did that through his thing. He wrote Brideshead Revisited. I know there's a very famous, there's a great TV play or TV movie, Brideshead Revisited. That's Evelyn Waugh wrote that book. Anyway, in the first page I read, he was saying that he was in the intelligence services as well, right? And he decided, and he wrote satire. When he wrote his news stories, he frequently satired everything. He could be a fakeologist because he said Marshal Tito, that was the head of Yugoslavia in the Second World War, was a woman. He said, "I've never seen him."
Oh, really?
There's no evidence.
Isn't that interesting?
He said, "I've got the yeah." And when he actually flew over with his intelligence thing and met him, he to his face, he said, "You look like I think you're a woman." You know, like he was saying, and he never referred to him as a man in all his writings. And these are, this guy wrote, it was a mainstream writer in the British newspaper.
I don't even know. I barely know what Marshal Tito looks like.
He was a communist dictator. So Evelyn Waugh was a high-ranking intelligence agent, as George Orwell was. And this book, interestingly, is called The Same Man in Love and War. And it's kind of, it doesn't imply, but they're trying to say that they may be different people, but they were almost identical in their beliefs at the end of the day. They don't look identical. They don't look anything like each other, but it's called The Same Man. And I thought, it's very fakeologist, that he's him and she's him and they're him. But I'm going to start reading this book, and I guarantee you I'm going to pull big stuff out of it because it's just full of it. It's really good. It's written by a guy called David Lebedoff. But the elite crust of England and the intelligence, they all seem to, when they go and join the army, they weren't foot soldiers, they went straight into the intelligence services.
Oh yeah.
And the media fakery department. And
exactly.
Evelyn Waugh wrote as a fakeologist. Everything he said, he would go completely the opposite and say, no, that's not a woman, that's a man. And this is big, back in the day,
that's good.
We're on the right track. Yep.
But let's not. Mm. Yeah, we're not going to throw everyone under the bus. But yeah, there's compelling evidence. I do like the gate evidence. That's good, where you can track.
Yes, you can. No. I agree 100%. So gate is what they're using for that's one of the reasons they said they used the masks as a mandate. Because they needed to get the cameras that are on every corner and every street everywhere to be able to identify a person by their gait. And
that's the rear identification.
Yeah. So you don't need to have your eyes or your face. Yeah, you don't need your eyes or your face to be identified. You just need your gait, which means the way you walk. And when we were talking to that guy a couple of weeks ago, that Thomas guy, I said, because I'd actually discussed this with a military guy, and he said, "I could fool that straight away." Because he said, "When you're in the army, you march as one. Everyone marches in identical gait, and that's part of being in the army is you learn to walk and march exactly the same as the next person. You cannot be identified if you marched in military gait from anyone that wasn't in the military." You're a complete automaton, basically. You actually walk. If you watch the Nazis, the Korean Army, British Army, any army, they march as one. They look identical when they're doing their march. But when you've got your natural walk where you go, you might have a salt. In my case, I've got my knee injury. Might have a slight misstep, move with your shoulders a different way. This goes back into the Alexander technique, which is another thing I've never mentioned on here, but let me just say this. Be aware. The Alexander technique is an amazing thing for repairing your previous injuries and getting back into being in balance with your body. The gait is a thing. Yeah, I agree. But as for saying he's a woman because he walks that way, forget about it. It's absolute. It's not
yeah.
true. It's,
yeah, there's it's, lot. There's yeah. there's many things you have to check off, and that's very important. And not everything is yeah. revealed in pictures and video that we get access to. So,
yeah. Well, the simplest thing, though, Ab. The simplest thing is looking at a woman's body with their, you know, when their hips, their back goes down, and they've got a much different hip shape, whatever. None of these guys, particularly Holmes and Stallone, resemble a woman. It doesn't matter how many steroids or hormones or whatever you take. This is literally...
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I
the
don't
hip
think
is very important.
It.
The pelvis, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I don't think Q that angle. Thomas J is doing this as a malicious thing and being like a, you know, 77 regiment disinformation person. He genuinely believes that there's a gate thing that's identifying female. That may be his thing. And there's no point in arguing with him because that's what he believes. And that's why I do not lose my energy arguing. Like, but Tim Osman, he will confront and say, I want to see.
Tim Osman likes confronting. Yeah, Tim Osman likes to confront, no doubt. Yeah. He'll take
so
you to court.
He's got energy.
He's got a lot of energy.
Yeah,
to file stuff
which is
in a
fantastic.
Court and do all that is a lot of energy.
Oh,
we
man.
We all know it takes energy. As we get to our age, we know we have to spare our energy for different things.
Yeah, and that's why, like, you know, when we had Unreal on on there saying, you know, he not only was this thing for everybody was controlled, everybody was this.
Yeah, you know, like they still are, by the way.
On everybody.
They,
oh, of course
they still
are.
Are.
And and he's never going to change. But I've given him props when I listened to his stuff, what he did with Chris on Hoaxbusters. He broke down the French, one of the shootings in France, expertly.
Right.
Expertly. Absolutely.
We have a lot of absolutists that come by here, don't we? Everything is... one way or the other. There's no nuance.
Yeah.
I think you and I can nuance things where there is but we can't just categorize everyone as this and everyone as that's crazy. Crazy talk.
No, it is crazy talk, and then it feeds in, and I just put it onto the Discord I said all to me that what this does is if you ever watch the movie, and I do highly recommend this movie, Glenn Ford. It was a TV movie called The Brotherhood of the Bell. It came out about 66, 67, maybe 71. It might have been an early 70s movie, TV movie. And he plays a guy who's in a small town, and he suddenly realizes that everything's been controlled by people that are in a secret society, and he's been asked to join it, and he rebels and says he doesn't want to be part of it. And he, all of a sudden, his life starts
like the Masons.
Bank account. It's the that's what the Bell, the Brotherhood of the Bell, is referring to, the Masons, 100%.
That's the name of the movie, Brotherhood of the Bell. That's a movie.
Oh, the Bell. Yeah. I watched it in the 70s. Oh yeah, it's good. And at the end of the movie, he finally gets his day in court to prove that all these previous business people were a part of a secret society, and they were being controlled. And they were doing this.
And the judge was probably amazing too.
Well, of course. Well, the judge is sitting there. Next thing you know, three paid stooges in the courtroom stand up and go, "Yeah, I agree with him." And also that I know for a fact that the aliens are the ones that are running this thing. And he's trying to. He's shaking his head, going, "No, don't." And the judge, everyone just looks at him like, "You're just part of a conspiracy theorist, lunatic fringe." And the case is thrown out, and his life gets destroyed by the Brotherhood of the Bell. Watch the movie. It's a TV movie.
Okay.
Highly recommended.
1970.
Recommended.
It says I'm here. Not gonna, you watched that 1970?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
I saw it probably in the late 70s on a TV. It was on one of the Saturday night movies or a Sunday night movie on one of the... Because I was already into this, you know, back in the day, the Masons and the conspiracy theorists and the aliens and the, so I it was to me, I went, wow, you know, this is fantastic. It's actually telling you some truth here, because it is full of truth. That last court scene is really does explain how if you have got the truth, you'll get mysteriously other people come onto there and start saying, yeah, Sylvester Stallone's a woman too, and so is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
They'll link it with crazy. Is that right? They'll link it with crazy.
Yeah, guaranteed. So this is a technique. This is a technique. Is it mudding the water or whatever it's called? It's like you've got all the evidence. Yeah, poisoning the well. So you tell someone that Michelle Obama is definitely not a woman, and you show the gait, you show the shoulders, you show the fact she hides her Adam's apple in every photo. Go online and look at Michelle.
Oh, that one is, to me, that's a for sure. That's a for sure for me.
It's a for sure. But what happens is because of these guys that are coming out and saying, well, that's nothing. That's a woman. That's a woman. She's a man. She's a man. And they'll bring out four or five ones that are clearly not women or men or what, you know, what they're actually are females or are males. But the public, like my brother, for instance, a classic example. He'll look at
it's a straw man.
Someone's.
Would you call it a straw man?
Exactly. Yeah. You're listening to Rick and Rap. They guided
me with psyops. Psychological operations.
They guided me with psyops. They weaponized psychology. Hey.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Media Bear on Sunday, the 2nd of April, 2023. And you got Rick and the Fakeologist from Fakeologist.com discussing whatever they want to discuss.
Yeah, we're talking about a movie from the 70s. So I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, Brotherhood of the Bell. Yeah, well, you know, Glenn Ford was one of those journeyman actors that was. Do you remember Cades County in the 70s?
No.
That was the last show.
I don't know any of these names.
Oh.
No, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. What I'll share you is the theme music to Cades County. And he was a cop in some county of New York. New York. In America. Probably in Texas somewhere. And it was just, you know that 1970s TV, how great it was. You used to have the mystery movies and you had shows like McLeod was a great one with Dennis Weaver.
Yeah, McLeod. Not bad.
Yeah, well.
I'm watching Rockford.
Cades County was Rockford. Listen, one of my favorites. And Dave J apparently is a Rockford Falls fan.
One of the big ones,
apparently. Yep. Yeah. But what a good show it was, and you had good actors, and the actor from Rockford Falls, Lee Marvin, what am I talking about?
Jim Garner.
James Garner. What a interesting person. Just like Lee, well, he's like Lee Marvin. He was a big, tall ex-GI, got wounded, both wounded in Purple Hearts.
Had Indian in him, too. Cherokee.
Yeah, but likable. And nice guy, but one of my favorite James Garner movies, he played the bad guy. It was called A Man Called Sledge, and I thought that movie was fantastic. It was a Western movie where he played a nasty, you know, he was like an anti-hero, like a Clint Eastwood anti-hero. And I just love that the actors that we had back in the day actually were men that led. In their, what would you call it? Their actual lifetime, they'd actually, you know, like Lee Marvin was a big game fisherman as well. Like he loved marlin fishing. He'd been in the army. He wasn't what you just mentioned before, soy boy. You could drop him in the middle of the desert somewhere or whatever, and he'd probably survive. The new actors, if you didn't have Botox and psychologists, you know, to go for counseling every now and then for some bullshit that happened in your past. A whole lot of lawyers to back you up for whatever you've done or said wrong. You can't survive. Those days, you had real men that were real actors. And James Garner was one of them, 100%. He acted, the way he acted and portrayed, that was him. You actually saw him in Rockford Folds. That was James Garner. You weren't watching
it. Yeah, I think so.
He could have been a private investigator. Could have been a private investigator. He had that kind of background. He was a tough, no-nonsense guy. And that was interesting that one of the last of the tough, no-nonsense guys, Mel Gibson, totally worshipped James Garner and made sure he appeared in the remake.
That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. He looked up to, Mel Gibson looked up to real people that were his role models when he was starting acting in Sydney in the 70s and early 80s.
Oh, nice.
And he ended up getting to...
So Mel Gibson and James Garner in a movie?
And it's got... I want to say Jodie Foster, and I don't... You can imagine what Frank will say here. Jodie Foster. They played the movie about the gambler. It was an American cowboy gambling movie, whatever it's called. The Maverick.
Okay.
It was a remake of James Garner's character in that TV show or movie. And Jodie Foster, Mel Gibson, and James Garner all appear. But that's why I liked TV back in the day, because you actually were watching people that you believed in that actually were possibly could have been that person. Now, I can't watch any of these movies because, and I'm talking about
Brad Pitt. They're not credible.
All these guys, they're not credible. Brad Pitt wouldn't last 10 seconds.
Detecting the woman in Brad Pitt. Maybe he's an invert. Would you consider that?
There's possibilities there, but there's a few rumors there. But I just think he's just that, you know, wimpy. I'm sad to say, my generation, it all went pear-shaped from 64. The Generation X's are not the baby boomers. They're different people. Things just went pear-shaped around my era of birth. And we were the kids of legends or grandchildren. We had grandparents that were amazing people that could do anything, you know. And even my father could build, be a mechanic. He could do anything because he grew up on a farm.
Yeah,
the next generation that came after Generation X, they became these... And I'm sad to say I'm part of it. They watched too much TV because TV was part of their upbringing, and they watched had terrible, you know, probably not would say terrible music, but we were the last generation to have decent music. Generation X, can you compare a Gordon Lightfoot song lyric to anything today? Gordon Lightfoot.
He was a fantastic.
Yeah. But listen to it. Listen to the lyrics of the song. It's over David Gates from Bread. The lyrics of the songs of the 60s and 70s, that was it finished about the 80s when it just went pear-shaped and we had new romantic and punk. And
In 2023, the level of speech and writing and music is just so low.
It's gone.
And these people are running things today. This is what I was thinking. These people are running things now. This is why we're going sideways or down so fast, because we got the dummies now in positions of power.
Yep.
And you know,
we're not the generation they're targeting. They know that we're going to be dead and gone by the time they want their goals to, you know, they know it's 2050 is probably more the case of where they want their thing. And we're going to be that old that they're going to, the young kids are going to say, look, dad's costing too much money to.
They're going to put us under.
I think it's better that we make them into a tree. We take them and put them into a, exactly the same as that movie set in 2022 by coincidence, the, you know, the, Soylent Green. That you're going to be converted, you'll go into a little beautiful room, watch a lovely movie, liquefy us and turn us into tree fertilizer. And I'm telling you, it may not be my kids, but it'll be their kids that will do that without even thinking. Well, not many of them going to, I don't think. I do not think.
I heard a survey. Yeah. I think it was on the No Agenda show. I was going to go get that clip because now I'm interested. But they said maximum 30% of young people want to reproduce. Yeah. And these numbers are just ridiculously low. It's not going to work.
I was at a job on Friday night, and the last one to leave was a German girl who's over here doing a 1 year gap in between universities. She would have a working year, and she has to go back to university in Germany. And we were in conversation because I was saying, well, my daughter's the same age as you, and we're talking about concerts and music. And she's saying, I don't want to have children. I won't be having children. And my daughter says the same thing. We will not be having children. And what she said to me was interesting because I said, are you leaving? She said, oh yeah, I met some guys and that, but I don't want to be part of a relationship. I don't find that part of my thing. There's no one I'm leaving here. She'd met people over here online, obviously. And she gave me the same, almost identical to what my daughter would say. No, that they're not part of the past. That they don't want to have kids. They just want to have fun and go and listen to music and do their own thing. And they haven't got that. The instincts been, I don't think bred out of them, but they've been brainwashed.
It's too dangerous
to have children.
It's been brainwashed out of
possibly.
Them.
Possibly.
And you know what? Yeah. I still think the controllers, the farmers of this place, they know all this. They know. They take the pulse of the nation, of the world every day. Every day they do a poll. They do surveys. They know what's going on. They know that there's going to be no resistance to bringing the third world to the first world because there is no one to do the work. They put out these stories of all these dangerous, irregular migrants coming into countries and dying in transit, and what it does is it softens the population to accepting just an increased traditional way of bringing them in as opposed to making them go across a mountain range or through a river. So it softens up the public. We don't want them dying coming here, so let's just bring them in.
Our Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, he was there, he was grinning away with his insipid grin, proudly saying that next year, 650,000 people will be brought into Australia per year. And that was the way that he said it was per year, not in the next 2 years.
And that's because your 20-year-olds are signing pacts and making deals to not reproduce. I think it's just a...
Yeah.
I think it's as obvious as the nose on your face what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And these people were going to come here. And I'm a boots on the ground person. I drive back this week and I didn't talk to many people. But most times I've been on a train and I get to talk to people. And I was at a train station waiting for my train to come back home. And I was talking to a bit older than me, I would guess. I could tell he was a Kiwi. He was a Maori. And he was working at a train station. We ended up having a conversation. It was 20 minutes to talk. And he said to me, he cannot find a flat or a one-bedroom flat that he can afford to live. And he's living on a friend's couch, which I do infrequently. And he said, the shortage, and he's in the railways, so he's making good money. I would say he's probably well over $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
He can't find accommodation. How if we bring in 650,000 people between now and next year, where are they getting accommodation from? Who are these people? How much money do they have on them that can come straight in here and afford to buy a brand new property, which are getting built hand over fist? Every street you look at, there's high rises going up.
Yeah, but those are all rentals, I think, don't you think? They're not for sale. They're going to be rentals. That's what's being built here.
Yeah, that may be so, but it's $550 a week for a one-bedroom flat with a garage on average in a city here, which is not that expensive possibly to some people, but that would be at least half their income on a good salary. Just to pay rent. But if you can't find a granny flat, which is what we call it over here, like some people have a house and they build a small one bedroom flat on their back property, which I could possibly do. I could possibly do that. But I want to know where 650,000 people are going to get. And the roads, the roads here in Sydney and even up here going into Port Macquarie occasionally when I take my kids to school, they're impassable because there's so many people on roads that have been designed for half the population. I just can't understand and fathom what's going to happen the next 2 years. What are they going to do? Are they expecting a mass die-off? That could be a thing. That could be a thing. I don't know. But the other thing I noticed big time when I drive through the regular drive that I do, there's all these big apartments getting built, and they look like they're really solid with sandstone base and everything. The other day I went past this building, and a car must have backed into one of these, what looked like a solid sandstone brick wall, and a chunk of it had fallen off, and it was basically about a quarter of an inch thick. Are you there? Probably not. I'll keep talking. It was basically a gyp rock or a rock clad or whatever they call it in America. It was a thin imitation wall looking like a solid brick wall, but it was actually just a cladding. So most of these buildings that they're building are designed to be removed very quickly. This is a thing. I do not think what you're seeing with these buildings going up, they're built permanently. I think they're built to last about 5 years to 10 years, and they're going to rip them down.
Yeah, I know. It's cheap materials, I know. Yeah. Very cheap.
Really cheap.
Probably
material.
Toxic, too, as it breaks down.
Guaranteed. 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 With a parenthesis. And
yeah, it's really a brave new world, you know. You're really going to, when they run out of people to bring from the third world after they've sterilized everyone over there, although they're not as...
Yep.
They're probably not as injected as the West, the stupid West.
Then they're going to have to make people. Yeah, I honestly don't think that the Chinese and the Indians are getting the same vaccination, protein, if at all, yeah. Because they seem to be having children hand over fist. Yeah. But
I don't know. I'm not in India or in China.
I don't know. But all I know is that it is definitely happening in China. As I've spoken to many or several people, they were locked down big time in China. They were locked down.
Right, because I think all these laws, all this conditioning, all this pandemic was really to create a system where they could lock everyone down for when they collapse the economy. There are going to be extreme disruptions. So they're going to have to lock people down or get a mechanism where they can lock them down and block them from moving around and associating and creating resistance because when things collapse, and I think they will if they don't do it right, they are going to have to manage millions of very angry people. I mean, just look at France. If you believe what's happening in France, and I do to an extent,
yeah,
that that's a lot of angry people. Now, are the French just like that and they can do that? Or is that what's going to happen all over the place? And all they're trying to do is jack up their retirement age from 62 to 64. I think it's almost 70 in the U.S. now, for God's sakes.
Well, it's 67 or 68 here, and there was no riots when they announced that. People just went, okay, whatever. But in France, they fight back. But I remember listening to...
There's one French slogan that I was listening to on a podcast of a bunch of Torontonians that moved over to France, and that is, we want our retirement before our arthritis. So they have a different attitude towards living. Yeah, it's a good idea. Like, we don't want to retire when we can't move anymore and enjoy it. There's a lot to say. Yeah. There's a lot to say about that. What good is retiring at 70 when you can't move and enjoy your life?
Oh, guaranteed. Seriously. And, exactly, because, I mean, I remember my grandfather, or one of them, or probably both of them, they were retired by 50. Maybe.
Whoa. 50?
Yeah. Oh, they were both, probably, I'll say they're mid-50s, but they were retired and they did not work. That was back in the 70s I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
You're listening to Rickon
Abbey. You get my mind thinking.
Hi, this is Ryan Ferry.
Sky Larkin.
Thrillium.
This is El Sushi, the movie.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Thanks, Ross Valley. What a voice. What a voice. You listen to Rick and Ab on the second.
I like Sky Larkin's voice,
too. Second. Yeah, great voice. Great voice. Benoit, he's back on, I think he might be a moderator on Discord.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Maybe he can get Sky Larkin back.
You'd have to ask him that one. I don't get involved with personal relationships whatsoever.
No.
Whatsoever. But,
society will be collapsed. I mean, we haven't even had it yet. They haven't collapsed the world currencies yet. And if things go then there probably won't be riots. But if there is some massive resetting
I've got to say this. Alan Watt, the great Alan Watt, he said in 2000, and he read from a military paper in 2008, 2009, the coming. It was a military paper. I think it was a British military think tank had come up, and they said, they named the date. They said 2025, you're going to get mass. They called it swarms of people that are going to be, rioters that are going to turn up using. I don't know if they mentioned mobile phones, but that is what they're going to do: is use mobile phones to send mass messages. Turn up here and do protests. And the army were looking at the ways and techniques of beating these potential swarms because they seem to know that there was something that was going to upset people so badly by 2025, there's going to be mass protests everywhere. And I'm telling you.
It's going to be the money system being reset.
I'll tell you now, starving, no food. No food, and that is the money system.
Maybe that's because you have no money to buy. Yeah.
Whatever. But if you can't feed your kids, you will turn into Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett very quickly, and go hunt and bar. Whatever it was, Daniel Boone, hunt and bar, killed himself a bar. You'll go out there to feed your children. The instincts that we still. Well, maybe not everyone still have, but survival and feeding your children, that comes over the top of everything. And we've seen it happen recently in New Zealand with the floods over there. And what the right-wing media were reporting these looters as being these crazy gangs, trying to rob drugs out of empty buildings. But in actual fact, it wasn't. It was people that were, again, trachetarians. They didn't have cupboards worth of food. Like back in, even my grandmother, they had preserves. And through winter, they had all the summer fruits preserved in cans and jars and jams. And they had flour. They could make bread and jam. Everything was there. The new people today do not have that preparation. They don't have food, whatever. So if there's a flood or a fire, and I'm telling you now from secondhand, but very close friends that were involved in both floods and fires in south and north of Sydney, the first thing that went south was that your credit card stopped working because you could not go into a service station or to a shop because they had no power, so you couldn't swipe your card. Your money, your card was worth nothing. They couldn't use it. So you couldn't get petrol and you couldn't get food. And you had mass panics going on very quickly in certain towns. They know this, and in the future, that will be the thing. Say they crash the system and say
Do you have a carbon tax over there?
Apparently, yeah. I'm not sure, but yeah, I do believe so.
Is it on your gas? It has to be on your gas then, your petrol.
To be honest, I couldn't confirm that, but I know that we just have GST, which is goods and services tax. But
yeah,
there may be a hidden one or what.
Because they just jacked ours up yesterday. It's all carbon pricing. So what they do is they have one thing where they value carbon. It's a completely artificial, nonsensical market, but that's what they do. So they jacked it up from, say, $65 a ton to $75. I don't know what the number is. But what that does is it trickles down everything to everywhere where there's energy. So my heating bill for the house is going to go up $10 a month. The gasoline went up 5 cents a liter yesterday. And anything to do with energy. Yeah, so in the old days, people went nuts when they heard that. But now, because it's carbon, it seems to just go through without a whimper.
Ab, they're saving the planet by paying a little bit more tax.
That's why I was wondering if you had the same thing over there. Because it doesn't get coverage anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but we had our... Julia Gillard, Jodie Foster. I'm just joking here. Just joking. She got thrown out because she wanted to introduce a carbon tax. Thrown out of politics. And went straight into Tavistock and into the Royal Institute of International Affairs. That's where she's still working. But so basically what they do is this is straight out of the Fabian Socialist, you say this, it's going to really offend people, and next guy will come in there and he'll say something kind of similar, and slowly they'll get where they want. They will have a carbon tax on every item. At the moment, I'm not sure. I think we may have on certain companies, they offer you discounts if you're with, you're with a carbon neutral company, or there are such things as carbon credits in Australia for sure, and I've worked for people that have made millions of dollars from carbon credits, dollars.
Yeah, there's going to be a whole market of trading that, and give you some carbon credits for that. There'll be a whole banking system that takes a cut of every transaction, etc. It's just a new tax on the world.
Yeah, but that tax, Ab, is accepted by the new or the brainwashed as being a good thing, and that you're saving the planet. And I think by recycling this or paying a little bit extra, I'm saving the planet. So this goes back to Charles Galton Darwin's The Next Million Years book that got published, I think, in the 60s or 70s. And he said that when he was asked what he was writing, he said, We're trying to create a new willing a slave system, but the slaves will love this system, that the slaves will enjoy their servitude. And it was a very, you know, the book, you know, and the Galton Darwins are the same as the, you know, the interbred elitists. But they've successfully, using the carbon credit hoax and the global warming hoax, they've convinced, I'm saying the majority, and I'm sad to say the majority, not a minority, of people, that they are happy to work really hard, come home basically and get on an exercycle and cycle for 3 hours to pay for the electricity on their building. They will do this. It will happen, and they'll grin away and be happy about it. This was a psychological operation that took 50 years to bring into place. It's here now. And as I say, most people, if you say, we're going to have to put the taxes up on this, but you're going to save the planet, and people are going to go, it's, you know, that whole psychological thing, oh, fantastic, I'm paying more, but I'm saving the planet. This is the thing. It's happening now, and you're going through it in Canada, which I would say is way worse than any other country on the planet as far as the brainwashing.
Yeah.
The brainwashing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You can see
it. But I figure you guys, your taxes must be going up, but maybe you're not noticing.
Yeah, look, Ab, everything is going up in price. Fuel, there's a tax on everything that's going up. And again, if the government decide to do things, they just say we're doing it to try and save you. We're saving you. So there's nothing we can do about it, unfortunately. I think we are the last sentient humans left. In the next 10 years, probably there won't be many of us still around to have that instinct to say that, you know, I remember my grandmother saying that everything was fine in the Depression because they grew their own food. That's not going to be a thing anymore. You won't be able to grow your own food because they're going to start bringing out laws that say that it's damaging the soils if you're using fertilizer in your own garden, or they can do whatever they want. COVID introduced that, Ab. As I said, it's the all-giving psychological operation. You can do anything.
And they have anything done everything, and now people are conditioned to it.
Yeah. So tell me, what's happened to, what's his name, you know, the muscly-looking guy with a good-looking girlfriend? He was getting in trouble all the time in Canada.
He's running for mayor. I think he's going to officially announce his candidacy tomorrow, I believe, yeah. So right now he's being ignored. Chris Guy,
yeah. So I haven't been following. Yeah. This is the thing, and I cannot reiterate this more. We can, and I'm sad to say, it's going on fakeholders.com, it's going on every other site. People do not want to remember the last 3 years, what we went through. They want to move on and go, you know, don't think negative, whatever. If you forget what we went through, then God help you. You've got to remember that you couldn't get your toes cut. You couldn't go to a doctor if you weren't vaccinated. You couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. You couldn't travel. That's still going on in America, obviously, at the moment. Unless you've been vaccinated, apparently you can't go to America at the moment.
You can't fly in. You can drive in, but you can't fly in. Or you can't come in by boat. It's wherever the Department of Homeland Security, TSA, is.
Has said that,
they're the ones. Yeah. It's their policy. And that's going to be probably renewed in May. I think it expires in May, but they'll probably just renew it. So this is to bring America down. It's to bring down the Christian nations.
Yeah, and you're right. I actually agree. Remember 2 years ago when you said this whole thing is to bring America down. I agree to this day.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It's for America. Because all the other countries are easy. Canada, Australia, they're a piece of cake. They're already pretty much in line.
And New Zealand, Australia, all the countries, the royal
crown on top of their logo.
Yeah, they're already under rule. There's not a problem with getting them because they don't have the laws to resist it because we're all subjects of the king. There's no resistance. There's no legal resistance. That's the main thing.
And just by coincidence, by odd coincidence, we've had Anthony Albanese elected one of the most unpopular choices of any leader ever, according to a good friend of mine who I stay with in Sydney a week. Yeah. He said that Anthony Albanese, and he hates him, but yet he's a Labor. He will bleed Labor till he dies. He said that the only reason he got in was because they had his opposition was a guy, this Dutton guy, who looks like a demon.
Give me a few.
From one of the Harry Potter. Okay, all good.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. Rick's trying to mute himself.
There's two new people on here, so if you want to talk away, because I've got about half an hour left. If you want to discuss anything with Rick and Ab, be told, you're free to talk. It's my try. Is it my try and Sting? If you want to chat, come on.
Yeah, dude. Hello. I've been here before. I just changed my name. I added an M.
What was your first name? I spoke to you before. Yeah, from Romania.
Yeah. Hello, gentlemen.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Yep. Well, I wouldn't use that word, but hello, my try.
Hello, Romania. Hello, Romania.
Hello, Romania.
Well, if you want, change my name to Mishu on the server. And you're
good, man. It's okay. It's too much work. I think the admin has to change the name. The admin will have to change it. But we'll call you, what's the name again? Let me look. My try.
Not me.
We got a lot of guys with funny names. But, so what were you saying about Albanese?
Oh, no, well, he has decided that he's bringing in, 650,000 migrants to solve the problem. Apparently, you can't find employees anywhere, which I have heard, to be honest. But could that be to do with the fact that they're all died or they've got too sick to work from being, vaccinated? I'm not sure, but there's a there, I would say.
There's a million different things. Yeah. The benefit, you got a whole generation that doesn't want to work. You don't have people reproducing. There's quite a few things going on probably to create that situation.
Yeah. And he's making sure that he's flying around the world talking to all these other useless eater leaders, particularly. But it's so pathetic, and he's so unliked by the actual real Labor Party members. Can't stand him because they think he's such a sleazy, sleazy and Albanese rhyme very well together.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing that I never remember happening. The Canadian crime sinister never goes to Australia. We never get the Australian crime sinister coming here. I guess there's just no relation at all.
Well, wouldn't you think that they would? Because they're very similar in their beliefs at the end of the day.
But I guess there's no real trade, no real trade between the countries. We don't have anything to offer each other, really, I guess.
Maybe, not sure on that. Not sure, but all I know is that Canada and Australia.
Has the Canadian ever Canada come over there?
Well, I'll tell you now. Canada and Australia and New Zealand, as people, are identical. We've all been grown, we're on satellite states of the UK. We have the Queen.
Right.
We have this very similar background, and we're all hardworking people that grew up in an area.
We're all good slaves.
The raw. I think so, yeah, and very good slaves. Ed. I think you're right on the money there. So, yeah, there's a there for sure that
But you know, I've never met a Canadian I didn't like, ever. Neither, and they love, I met them in New Zealand, I met them in Australia. The people that adapt very quickly over here. And Australians, for some weird reason, think that most people I know that have been to Canada said that Canada is the country they prefer to have lived in. So there's something very easygoing about Canada, despite the cold, which I couldn't stand, be told. But
And by the way, this afternoon, we're having John Friend and Giovanni Cerucci on about the J and J debate, Jesuits versus Jews. Let's see what happens there. That should be exciting. Mm. I hope they show up after the break.
I'm Broken Locks from Christchurch.
Dee Dee from Portland.
Jungle Jim.
Resmo Jeff.
Doug Kelly.
Adam from Florida.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
You're listening to Rick and Ab on April the 2nd, 2023. And what a coup. Ab apparently has got Johnny Cerucci and John Friend.
John Friend.
John Friend, yep. Now, I have to say this. I listened again. I'll bring up, and I'm telling you, I do not know him. I've never met him. I've got no interest in the plugging, just like Alan Watt. But yet, Johnny Cerucci's done at least two or three shows with Sean McCann on the Waking the Dead podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Which I have absolutely loved. Yeah, I love. So just mention to Cerucci, if you do talk to him, that John Friend show, because Sean McCann. Forget about John Friend. Tell him that you listened to Sean McCann and his interviews, or say that someone that you know that has, and they are really, really good, because Sean McCann is not a Christian, but he has what you call a good kind of, you know, radar for truth, and he knows his stuff, but he doesn't go to church and et cetera, and he's not a Catholic, or he's not a whatever. But Cerucci and him, I thought was really good stuff, and I learned a whole lot of stuff. I mean, I'm learning all
what
sorts
were they
of stuff
talking about?
Everything, absolutely everything, and movies. I mean, it goes all over the place. And that's why, because Sean McClan does not have a paywall. So he talks his talk and doesn't charge you for it. So you can listen to it.
What were those shows?
Well, to be honest, I couldn't tell you, but they were probably in the last 6 months, because I think I heard some familiar conversation. Yeah. But,
are you going back in Sean McCann's archives, or
So I've got McCann on Podbean, and Podbean allows you. So you play one show, and you decide. I'll go to bed. Press his latest show. It goes consecutively backwards. So I'm asleep for 8 hours. I'll get the eighth hour. So every show you did was 8 hours. I'll be listening to the eighth show while I'm asleep and wake up and in the middle of
the night. So the podcast is called Wake the Dead? Wake the Dead?
Wake the Dead, yeah. And I love blowing smoke up people if I think that they've given me information. And Sean McCann, I call him a stoner, and yes, he is, I would say. Like, you know, I can hear him puffing, you know, vaping away or blowing away on
Bacon away, marijuana.
Yeah. But let me just say this. He has taught me stuff that I hadn't heard before, and that's, for me, as a what I call a podcast slut of the highest magnitude and listen to some shows, if someone's waking me up to stuff that I hadn't heard of before, particularly his stuff on Kubrick and really, really good stuff, I'm going to blow smoke up the guy and say, yeah, fantastic. But Cerucci and him got on really good. But you were telling me that Cerucci did run Tim Osmond down after he did his interview, even though they seem to be
never heard
fine
that.
To me.
I don't listen to Johnny enough. I don't listen.
I haven't heard him run down Tim, but
I'm just going by with what. There's a lot of Johnny Cerucci. I'm using Podcast Addict to search, looks like there are a few Johnny Cerucci's.
Oh yeah, he's done at least three. But so between Cerucci and Hans Utter and another number of other kind of obscure podcasters, I'm sitting there and often I'm just going, wow. You know, look, for me to say wow is pretty impressive because I listen to so many shows. And I just think McCann's his brain seems to be open at the right spot. That's all I can say. He seems to be able to disseminate. He's not a fakeologist, but I haven't heard him mention anything. I think you and him could do a good show and just talk about.
All right. I'll bring him on.
9/11. Just do 9/11 alone and bring up the Staveley, Chris Kendall, and who else would I hold up as Marcus Allen, all those guys. Basically, what Sean McCann's doing is standing on the shoulders of giants. He's probably listened to a lot of shows and he's got up there and he's done his own research, which is what I do. Listen to someone good and then find something else. But he is really knocking it out of the water, or knocking it out of the park, as they say in baseball.
Yeah.
And I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. So hopefully...
He's got a lot of shows.
Yeah, he's got a lot of shows. But do yourself a favour and do what I do and just put him on while you're driving or working or whatever and go through. And the tidbits... And I say tidbits being the little bits that you pick up out of, say, a two-hour show. There might be just two little things that you've heard that you can jump onto and you'll make it a mountain out of a molehill. Guaranteed. Anyway, Ab, I'm probably going to go now. So I'll let you go.
All right. Nice chatting. Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, as usual. As usual. Fantastic. And I'm probably going to do a... tomorrow or the next day, be told about this book. Evelyn Moore and George Orwell, the same man.
On Hoax Syndicate.
Yeah. On Hoax Syndicate. Be told it'll be good because I'm kid you not, I'm seeing stuff that I'm just going, wow. So,
thank you, Rick.
We will speak soon.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Be told.
Thank you, Rick. Be told. Thank you, Rick.
Hoax Syndicate. Rick at fakeologist.com. Contact Rick.
Rick at fakeologist.com. Yep. Do yourself a favor and contact Rick. All right, Ab. You are the legend. You are the creator. Be told. Fakeologist.com. The place to be. The place to be.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.